Good evening. Let's come to order and go on the record. I am Commissioner Tenola D. Brown Gland, the presiding commissioner for this hearing. With me this evening are Chair Charlotte A. Mitchell, Commissioners Lyons Gray, and Daniel G. Clodfelter. I now call for hearing docket number G9, sub 743, in the matter of an application of Piedmont Natural Gas Company, Inc., hereafter Piedmont or Company, for an adjustment of rates, charges, and tariffs applicable to service in North Carolina, continuation of its IMR mechanism, adoption of its EDIT rider, and other relief pursuant to North Carolina General Statute 62-133 and Commission Rule R1-17. On April 1st, 2019, Piedmont filed an application with the Commission requesting that the Commission approve, among other requests, its proposed increase in and revisions to its rates and charges for natural gas service in North Carolina, continuation of its integrity management rider, also known as the IMR mechanism, implementation of a deferral accounting mechanism for certain distribution integrity management program expenses incurred in compliance with federal safety regulations, and adoption of an excess deferred income tax rider mechanism to facilitate return to customers of deferrals and excess deferred income taxes associated with reductions in state and federal tax rates occurring after the company's last general rate case. Overall, across all customer classes, the company seeks a 9% increase in annual total revenues to recover its costs. The company states the increase is necessary primarily due to substantial capital investment in its system since its last rate case in 2013. According to the company, this investment has been made to accommodate system growth and to comply with federal safety requirements. Filed with the application were the testimony of company witnesses Frank Yoho, Victor Gaglio, Jack Sullivan, Bruce Barkley, Pia Powers, Callie Cousins, Robert Hebert, Daniel Yardley, Dane Watson, and Paul Norman. Carolina Utility Customers Association, Inc., Fayetteville Public Works Commission, Nucor Steel Hereford, a division of Nucor Corporation, and Carolina Industrial Group for Fair Utility Rates 4, filed petitions to intervene in this docket, which were granted by the Commission. The intervention and participation of the public staff is recognized pursuant to state statute and Commission rule. On April 22nd, 2019, the Commission issued an order establishing general rate case and suspending proposed rates. On May 16, 2019, the Commission issued an order scheduling investigation and hearings, establishing intervention and testimony due dates and discovery guidelines, and requiring public notice. The order scheduled hearings to receive the testimony from public witnesses, one for this date and time, Wednesday, July 17, 2019, in Wilmington. Last week, on July 9th and 10th, for High Point and Charlotte, respectively. After the public hearings, the matter will resume in Raleigh on Monday, August 19, 2019, at 2 o'clock p.m., and will continue as required for the testimony and cross-examination of the expert witnesses for Piedmont, the public staff, and other interveners. On June 10, 2019, the Attorney General of North Carolina filed a notice of intervention, and the intervention and participation of the Attorney General is recognized pursuant to North Carolina General Statute 62-20. In compliance with the State Government Ethics Act, I remind the members of the Commission of our duty to avoid conflicts of interest, and I inquire at this time as to whether any commissioner has any non-conflict of interest with respect to this docket. The record will reflect that no conflicts were identified. And I now call for appearances of counsel, beginning with Piedmont.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. My name is Jim Jeffries. I'm with the law firm of McGuire Woods, and I'm here on behalf of the applicant, Piedmont Natural Gas Company. I'd also like to introduce two of the folks from Piedmont that are with me here tonight. Mr. Bruce Barkley, who's Vice President of Regulatory and Community Relations. Bruce. And Ms. Pia Powers, who's Director of Rates and Regulatory Affairs for Piedmont. And if I may, Madam Chair, Mr. Barkley and Ms. Powers, if any of the folks tonight would like to discuss either the matters that are at issue in this rate case or customer service issues or anything regarding Piedmont service, Mr. Barkley and Ms. Powers would be happy to discuss that with them after the hearing.
Can the folks in the back hear Mr. Jeffries? Heard what he said? All right. They're indicating they could hear.
Yeah, good evening, Your Honor. My name is John Little. I'm an attorney with the legal division with the public staff. And with me tonight is Jeffrey Gilbert with the natural gas division of the public staff.
All right.
Good evening, Commissioner Brownland. I am Jennifer Herod, Special Deputy Attorney General. I'm here on behalf of the Attorney General of the state of North Carolina, and I represent the using and consuming public, the state, and its citizens in this matter of important public interest.
Any preliminary matters to come to our attention?
Not that I'm aware of, Madam Chair.
All right. Mr. Little, have you identified witnesses who wish to speak tonight?
Yes, Your Honor. We so far we have identified six witnesses who wish to speak tonight.
All right. Just a little bit about the proceedings tonight. These proceedings were scheduled in response to Piedmont having filed an application for changes in the in their scheduled rates. And the proceedings have been scheduled in two parts, which include a public hearing portion and an evidentiary hearing portion. The public hearing portion is to, for the benefit of allowing the commission to hear from the customers and the people who are affected by the proposed changes that Piedmont is seeking. The hearings are important to us to hear what you think and any issues that you may have regarding the application, and it also gives you a chance by bringing matters to our attention that if you're having any particular issues with the company, you might have a chance to bring those forward and they can later be dealt with in the proceeding. Or, as the company has indicated, they brought Mr. Barkley and Ms. Powers here, and they'll be happy after the proceeding, after tonight's hearing is over, to speak with you regarding any questions you may have that are related to this case. By way of explanation, the public staff here, many people get them confused with the commission itself, but they are separate and apart from the commission. They are not controlled by the commission. They do not answer to the commission. They answer to their own executive director, and they represent you, the user and consuming public. They, at a later time, a couple days from now, I believe, their recommendation in this matter as regard to this petition will be due to be filed, and that is something that you would all be able to see on our website. There will be a public filing that will be made. The second portion of the hearing is something that we typically refer to as the evidentiary hearing, and that is a hearing where the parties to the case, the company, the public staff, in this case the Attorney General, will bring forth, if they choose to, expert witnesses. Expert witnesses are usually accountants, engineers, economists, or other specialists. And they bring them forward to speak to the matters that are in the petition. Going back to the public staff, I want you to know that they're job and function is to investigate the application, to check behind what the company has alleged or is seeking, to justify or to verify in their minds that the allegations that the allegations in the application are accurate, that the company has spent money on the assets as they claim, and that they are certain that those assets are being used as part of the system and or on your behalf. and just about the nature of these proceedings themselves. They, of course, are not in the nature of a protest hearing or a town hall. It is part one part of a court proceeding, and so courtroom decorum is appropriate. You will not be able to ask the commission, or that includes myself or the commissioners over here to my left, not able to ask us questions any more than you would ask a judge if you were in a trial proceeding. It's very similar in that respect. When a witness comes forward and provides testimony, it will be under oath. The court reporter will take that down verbatim. That statement will also become part of the record and is available publicly. And you can see that on the commission's website as well. And for tonight, and so that we may be consistent as we have been with the other proceedings we held, the witnesses will be time restricted, and the time per witness is 3 minutes. I ask when you see the clock running down, we have a clock here, it should run down in reverse. When you see that 1 minute is remaining, if you'll start making the effort to wrap up your statement so you can keep it within the 3 minute limit. And the last thing I think that I would bring to your attention is this particular case and application, as I said, is about the company's request for a rate increase. It is not about the siting of any pipeline. And I understand that sometimes some people are aware of the Atlantic Coast Pipeline and wish to make comments about that, but this proceeding has nothing to do with that. This commission has nothing to do with that. We're not able to make a decision one way or the other that will have any impact on whether that pipeline is approved or disapproved. So I would ask that you limit what you have to tell us about that. We're here to listen to you. We want to hear what you have to say, and we certainly appreciate that you came out to tell us. And with that, Mr. Little, will you please call your first witness?
Yes, the public staff will call Lynn McIntyre. McIntyre, why don't you give us your full name and address for the court reporter, please?
1113 Dawson, Wilmington.
And what's your first name?
Lynn.
Lynn, and your last name is McIntyre? Spell that, please.
McIntyre.
And are you a customer of Piedmont Gas?
Yes, I am.
What would you like the commission to hear from you about tonight?
Well, I am against the rate hike, needless to say, and one of the reasons is that on my bill every month there's a fee of $10, and when I called their customer relation lady and asked her what that was for, she told me that it was to make up the shortfall of income during the summer months. Now, as you have over 1 million customers, and she assured me everybody that was a customer paid this, that's an awful lot of money. And I see if you get this every month, I don't see any reason why you need to raise the rates for the customers.
Is there anything else?
No, that's it.
Thank you. Public staff has nothing further, Your Honor.
Mr. Jefferson, no
questions, Ms. McIntyre.
Commissioners, any questions? All right, thank you for coming out.
Thank you.
You may step down, and please be careful. Mr. Little's coming to help if he...
Your Honor, going in order from the signing sheet, the public staff will call Donna Chavez. Ms. Chavez, let's start off with your full name, please.
Donna Chavez.
Spell that last name for the court reporter, please.
C-H-A-V-I-S.
And are you a customer of Piedmont?
No, I'm not.
If you're not a customer, what is your testimony dealing with?
My interest is on behalf of the citizens where I live, which is a unit of coverage of Piedmont Natural Gas, and the concerns they have related to this rate hike.
Okay. What would you like to tell the commission?
Okay. And I do have written remarks. And would like to say good evening, and it's an honor to be before you tonight, and thank you for your service. You may have seen me in the courtroom at every site, but I have never.
You, there's a 3-minute time limit. You should get to either. Hurry up to get to your point.
I've timed this. So I will begin. I come tonight as a citizen of the globe, the country, the state of North Carolina, and Pembroke, North Carolina, in the county of Robeson. To that end, I am in agreement with the Public Utilities Act of North Carolina. In Section 62.2, Declaration of Policy Number 3A, it states, to that end, to require energy planning and fixing of rates in a manner to result in the least cost mix of generation and demand reduction measures, which is achievable, including consideration of appropriate rewards to utilities to efficiency and conservation, which decreases utility bills. And number 10 goes even further to say, to promote the development of renewable energy and energy efficiency through the implementation of a renewable energy and energy efficiency portfolio standard, REPS, that will do all of the following. Diversify the resources used to reliably meet the energy needs of consumers in the state. Provide greater energy security through the use of indigenous energy resources available within the state. Encourage primate investment in renewable energy and energy efficiency, and provide improved air quality and other benefits to energy consumers and citizens of the state. It is my considered opinion that Duke's Piedmont Natural Gas's rate hike request does not meet the obligations set before the Commission as laid out in the Public Utilities Act. You're being asked to give an extraordinary 9% rate increase to recover costs related to system growth, pipeline integrity management, infrastructure investments, and safety and security upgrades. In the obligation that energy planning delivers the least cost mix for consumers, gas is no longer the least cost energy source available. When you add the requirement to promote the development of renewable energy and to diversify resources used to meet the energy needs of consumers, the Commission has at least 3 legal requirements to deny the requested rate hike. The request of a 9% rate increase and an increase to a 10.6 rate of return is not only unnecessary and unneeded as, unneeded as you have heard multiple times in prior comments, but is also not in the best interest of the consumer or the state. It will delay the transition to more diversified resources that are indigenous energy sources available within the state. I call on the Commission to rely on the charge that it is given under the Public Utilities Act and deny the requested rate hike. Thank you.
All right. Any questions from this witness?
Nothing further from the public staff.
No questions, Madam Chairman.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Chavez. Glad you could come out tonight.
Next, the public staff will call Nita Dukes.
Do you sincerely and solemnly swear that the testimony you give tonight shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, to help you God?
I do.
All right.
Give us your full name and address for the record, please.
My name is Nita Dukes. I live at 194 North Hillcrest Road in Siler City.
Can you spell your first name for us?
N-I-T-A.
And what would you like to say to the commission tonight?
Well, mine's kind of like more to Duke Power, that even though I do get Duke Power, I don't get gas, but I do get Duke Power. But you mentioned the Atlantic Coast Pipeline, and people should not be, this is not what's supposed to be addressed tonight. So you've heard, I'm sure you've heard some people elsewhere talk about the fracking, the environment. But I'm in awe of Duke Power. I really think they've pulled a good one off, and I my hat's off to them, because first, they convinced FERC that the ACP was necessary as a fuel source for its gas-fired power plants, even though Dominion, who's their partner, cut its demands by the equivalent of two large gas-fueled power plants to run through Virginia. And North Carolina is now has a booming solar industry, which decreases the need for gas-fired power plants, which may make the ACP project possibly obsolete before it's even completed. But what I really love about what Duke has done is they'll have a guaranteed revenue stream, income stream, for decades. For something that they don't even, may not even need due to the other pipelines that are running through. They're going to make a lot of money for their officers and their investors, and help make up for some of the loss probably that they suffered last year. Because how do they do that? Well, they get a 15% guaranteed rate of return from FERC, by the FERC guidelines. First, they make the public pay for the pipeline, which is somewhere around $8 billion now. And then they get the 15% rate of return until it reaches full depreciation. So the shareholders and the officers are going to be more than happy to share that revenue. That's without even putting gas through the lines. Once they don't even have to put that. That's not a requirement. So once they put gas through the lines, they not only make that 15%, they also can sell the gas and make revenue off of that. So what do they need the money for? If they're going to make money through the pipeline, why do they need to raise more of our rates when we're paying for the pipeline and they're getting the 15%? And we're paying the 50%, actually. It's just easy money for them. So hopefully, maybe they can, the profit that they make will help Lynn Good and her staff and her shareholders go back to the revenue that they once enjoyed with that 55% increase. Even with the cost, they've had some cost for delays. That 50% will help pay for that. So either way, they're going to break even or make money. So what do they need that that increase for? But anyway, when you look at the business model, they've created quite the business model for themselves, but not for the general public who has to pay for this. I would like to quote Abraham Lincoln, who said, you can fool some of the people some of the time, and you can fool all of the people some of the time, but that last statement, you cannot fool all of the people all of the time.
Thank you.
Are there any questions, Ms. Witness?
No, Your Honor.
No questions.
I would like to state that I got my my resources from Southern Environmental Law Center.
Thank you, Ms. Dix.
Next, the public staff would call Amanda Robertson.
That report I'd like to share with the commissioners. I think there's enough for everybody here to have one now as well. Thank you.
Do you sincerely and solemnly swear that the testimony you give tonight should be the truth, the whole truth, and the whole truth to help you out?
I do.
Okay.
Thank you.
Give us your full name and address, please.
Amanda Robertson, 244 Prince Creek in Pittsburgh, North Carolina, 27312.
And are you a customer of Piedmont?
No.
And what do you would like to tell the commission tonight, then?
I am here, even though I'm not directly impacted by the rate hike, I am impacted by the rate hike because it represents further infrastructure and continued use of natural gas and a fossil fuel that is, frankly, destroying the planet. So I've shared with you a 2050 scenario report. This is a scientific security risk analysis from the National Center for Climate Restoration in Australia. It came out a couple of months ago. You guys might have heard about it through CNN and other sources. That's the actual report. It anticipates climate change impacts from known factors to project an outcome for this planet and impacts on humanity 30 years hence by 2050.
You might want to slow down just a tad so you can catch it.
Sorry. I use this as a basis of my own testimony today, and will be quoting directly from this report. Recently, attention has been given to a hothouse Earth scenario in which system feedbacks could drive the Earth system climate to a point of no return, whereby further warming would become self-sustaining. This hothouse Earth planetary threshold could exist at a temperature rise as low as 2 degrees Celsius, possibly even lower. In this spirit, the report sketches a 2050 scenario. 2020 to 2030, the agreement in the Paris Accords is politely ignored. By 2030, carbon dioxide levels have reached 437 parts per million. They're right now at about 416, which is unprecedented in the last 20 million years, and warming reaches 1.6. It's currently at 1.06. And 2030 to 2050, they share that at this trajectory, we will be at 3 degrees above Celsius by 2050. By 2050, the hothouse Earth scenario has been realized. This is 30 years from now. 35% of the global land area and 55% of the global population are subject to more than 20 days a year of lethal conditions beyond the threshold of human survivability. The destabilization of the jet stream is impinging on life support systems in Europe. North America suffers from devastating weather extremes, including wildfires, heat waves, drought, and flooding. Aridification emerges over more than 30% of the world's land surface. Desertification is severe across the southwestern United States. A number of ecosystems collapse, including the coral reef systems, the Amazon rainforest, and the Arctic. Deadly heat conditions persist for more than 100 days a year in much of the world, which together with land degradation and sea level rise contributes to perhaps a billion people being displaced. Water availability decreases sharply in the most affected regions at lower latitudes, including the subtropics, such as Florida, affecting about 2 billion people worldwide. Food production is inadequate to feed the global population, and food prices skyrocket. There is a catastrophic decline in insect populations, desertification, monsoon failure, and chronic water shortages in conditions too hot for human habitation in significant food-growing regions. Nations around the world will be overwhelmed by the scale of change and pernicious challenges such as pandemic disease. The internal cohesion of nations will be under great stress, including in the United States, both as a result of dramatic rise in migration and changes in agricultural pattern and water availability. The flooding of coastal communities around the world, especially in the Netherlands, the United States, South Asia, and China, has the potential to challenge regional and even national identities. Armed conflict between nations and over resources is likely, and nuclear war is possible. This scenario provides a glimpse into a world of outright chaos on a path to the end of human civilization and modern society as we have known it. in which the challenges to global security are simply overwhelming and political panic becomes the norm. What can be done to avoid such a probable but catastrophic future? It is clear that dramatic action is required this decade if the Hot House Earth scenario, this decade, if it's to be avoided. But all you must ask, is there a need for this service? And is the cost reasonable? I say it's not reasonable. This is a terrifying future. And I hope you'll read the report I attached, and you can do the research yourself. Because as somebody that's been fighting climate for years and years and years, I read it, and I shifted from a path of migration or mitigation to one that is really going to try now and help communities adapt, because this is what we are going to face if we let them control the future of our energy. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Robinson. Any questions from this witness?
None from the public staff.
She has handed out a policy paper. It's entitled Existential Climate-Related Security Risk, a Scenario Approach, written by David Spratt and Ian Dunlop.
Yes, I believe she referred to it extensively during her testimony. So the public staff asked that it be marked as Public Staff Exhibit 1, pending any objections entered into the record.
All right, let's identify it as Robertson Exhibit 1.
We have no objection, Madam Chairman. I do have a question for Ms. Robertson when it's appropriate. Ms. Robertson, do you have any affiliation with the authors of the study?
I do not.
Okay, thank you.
Questions by the commission? All right. Thank you, Ms. Robertson. Thanks for coming out.
Thank you.
Next, the public staff will call Andy, is it McGlennon?
Sincerely, solemnly swear that the testimony you'll give tonight shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Say hello to you.
I do.
Mr. Miller?
Tell us your name and address, please.
My name is Andy McGlynn. I live at 3901 Riverfront Place here in Wilmington.
Spell your last name for us, please.
MC, capital G, LINN.
And are you a customer of Piedmont?
I am.
What would you like to for the commission to hear from you tonight?
I have some written statements, if I can read that.
Sure, go ahead.
So I am a volunteer leader with the Cape Fear Sierra Club. As you know, Sierra Club is the nation's oldest and largest environmental advocacy organization, and I'm opposing this unjust rate hike. Frack gas is dirty, dangerous, one of the biggest contributors to climate crisis. It makes sea level rise faster, hurricanes stronger, heat waves hotter. Here in eastern North Carolina, that means we are more threatened by hurricanes, flooding, and disappearing beaches. This threatens our economy, our homes, and even our lives. Frack gas is also linked to negative health effects like premature birth, breathing problems, and even cancer. Instead of locking us into decades of dependence on polluting fossil fuels, PNG and Duke should invest in clean, renewable energy technologies like wind and solar that are affordable and abundant. Nevertheless, not only are PNG and Duke doubling down on antiquated technology, they want to raise the rates for us to pay for them. These rate increases have the biggest impact on those who can least afford it, and line the pockets of polluting corporations that already rake in billions of dollars in profits. The fracking to plastic pipeline is a continuous contaminant cycle that is putting our water, air, and the future of our planet in severe danger. For the sake of our wallets, our health, and our climate, our communities, the commission should reject these rate hikes. Lastly, as a consumer of Piedmont and Duke, I fully expect that if a rate increase is granted, that I, like all Carolinians, will see an increase also on my Duke side of my bill, because they will claim that their fuel costs have risen, even though it's really going from their right pocket to their left pocket. So I encourage you to reject this rate increase. Thank you.
Any questions?
No, Your Honor, no questions.
No questions.
Thank you.
All right. Mr. McGillian, thank you for coming out. Glad you could let us know how you feel.
The next would be Jeff Curry.
Sincerely, solemnly swear that the testimony you give tonight shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God.
Yes, I will do.
All right, please be seated.
Mr. Curry, would you give us your name and address, please?
Jefferson Curry. My address is 3856 Mitchell Road, Middlesex, North Carolina.
Spell your last name.
C-U-R-R-I-E.
And are you a customer of Piedmont?
No, I'm not.
Okay, what would you like to tell the commission tonight?
I'd like to read a short statement, and I'd like to start just thanking the commission for your service and for having a public hearing on this issue. My name is Jefferson Curry, and I'm the Lumber River Keeper, where my job is about protecting water quality in the Lumber River watershed and stopping the negative impacts that polluters and pollution have on our waterways and communities. I'm here tonight to ask the Utilities Commission to deny Piedmont Natural Gas's request for a rate hike. With the cost and demand for natural gas predicted to decrease, this rate increase is not needed, and furthermore, it takes our eyes off the prize, the clean and renewable energy that is our future. The infrastructure cited by PNG, although not specifically named in filings, I believe reflects in part the cost of their recent updates to older pipeline and the proposed Robeson Liquefied Natural Gas Facility, LNG, that Piedmont Natural Gas wants to build in the rural Wakulla community in Robeson County, where it will have disproportionate impacts on the majority American Indian community that lives there. This facility is just over a mile from Oxenine Elementary School and Olympia Holiness Methodist Church. Both are in jeopardy from accidents and explosions and illegal dumping, such as the groundwater contamination at the Huntersville LNG site. In 2018, in support of the LNG facility in Robeson and surrounding counties, PNG updated their pipeline, with work coming just before Hurricane Florence. For those who live near the long swaths of barren land where the pipe was laid, this fresh pipeline served as its own waterway, contributing to the severity of flooding. While PNG came out and checked those lines after the hurricane, no one went door to door to ask about those who suffered because of their infrastructure. PNG says the rate hike is not for LNG construction in Robeson County, but their infrastructure work has been ongoing in support of that site. Come to Robeson County, I can take you to sites where PNG is working on the infrastructure now and has been working on it and is part of the reason for this rate increase. Piedmont Natural Gas, like their owner, Duke Energy, wants customers and communities to pay for their unneeded infrastructure and natural gas lines, while all they give us is fear from disasters and pollution. I appreciate it.
All right.
No questions, Your Honor.
No questions.
All right, dude, no questions. We want to thank you for coming out, Mr. Kerr.
Your Honor, at this time, this is the last witness that the public staff has identified as wanting to testify tonight.
All right, then, ladies and gentlemen, that will conclude this hearing, and we will be adjourned shortly. I just will repeat that all of you can follow these proceedings all the way through to their conclusion on our website, which is www.ncuc.net, and you go to the docket search section, you input the docket number G9 sub 743. You're also welcome to come. This hearing will resume on August the 19th in Raleigh at 2 p.m. You're welcome to attend and hear the experts for yourselves and what they have to say. If you're not able to, again, the transcript, full transcript, will be available shortly after the conclusion of that hearing, again, on our website. That said, we do appreciate you all taking the time to come out. It is important, and we always welcome the opportunity to meet you and hear from you. That concludes this hearing. We will be adjourned. Thank you.